Welcome to the Money Wise Women Show, brought to you by MoneyMorphosis.com. Are you ready to be inspired to upgrade your financial skills? Listen to feminine leaders sharing practical advice and valuable insights. Shift your money mindset, improve communication skills, and learn financial management tips. Although we do not provide investment advice, you can check out MoneyMorphosis.com. That's MoneyMorphosis.com to find simple ways to boost your true wealth.
Hello, it's Crystal Arnold, your hostess of the Money Wise Women Show and founder of Money Morphosis. So let's talk about money and why talking about money is so incredibly terrifying for so many people. If you get nervous and feel anxious and stressed when you're about to talk to someone about money, I want you to know that you are not alone. In fact, nearly every person who I have worked with, hundreds of predominantly women, have a really hard time talking openly and honestly about their finances. And often this comes from our childhood programming and the way that our parents, really did not openly talk about money themselves. And so as a result of that, most of us are not taught either communication skills and not taught financial management skills. And so many of us just kind of fumble along through life and make things up as we go and may get into trouble with credit card debt and then feel ashamed or not really know how to reach out for the professional support and advice that we really deserve to become more prosperous, empowered leaders. And especially for those of us who are entrepreneurs and really wanting to make a positive impact in the world and in our communities and in our own families, we need these skills of communication and financial management to really make the impact that we want. And so I encourage you to have curiosity as you listen to this conversation today and see how it may apply to your own life. And before I introduce our guest, I encourage those of you listening just to take a moment and either close your eyes and reflect on some important money conversations that you would like to have. And maybe if you have pen and paper, just jotting down a few of those ideas. What are some, unresolved money situations or things that you need to address to free up some energy in your own financial life? So go ahead and reflect on those and then see how our conversation today may inspire you and inform you so that you can take some action on these items. So I'm so pleased to have our guest, Mary Shores, here today. She is the owner and founder of Mid-State Collection Solutions, which is one of the most unique collection agencies in the country. And she is recognized as a leader of innovative thought. She has spent over a decade teaching businesses and individuals how to inspire others, create new ways of thinking, identify their goals, and take action to create meaningful results. So Mary is the revolutionary founder of the groundbreaking Conscious Communications System, which we are so excited to discuss today. So Mary travels all around the country giving lectures, teaching courses, and has been featured on many national radio and television shows. And you can learn more at her website, maryshores.com. So pleased to have you here today, Mary. I'd love to begin just by hearing what you find most exciting about the work that you do.
Hi, Crystal, and thank you very much for that really amazing introduction. I really loved it.
Awesome.
So I think that what makes me just love what I do is everything about it. I mean, number one, my job is to collect money, so there's excitement in that. Number two, ever since I was a child, I just only wanted to be a businesswoman. So where other little girls played house, I played bank, and I had a little bank in my garage, and I would make the other kids come through the bank and have accounts at my bank, and it was really a lot of fun. And then number three, I am passionate about money. I am passionate about credit reporting, and I am passionate about making a difference in the world.
Yes, we need more voices like yours, because so many people are just incredibly stressed about money, and so refreshing to have a new perspective on how people can get more empowered. So let's jump right into, I'm wondering if you could tell us more about the Conscious Communications program that you've created and how it really evolved from a business training to becoming now a Hay House personal development guide.
Sure. So Conscious Communications is the book that I wrote, and it's a book about creating your own reality. And really what's different about this book than other books and what makes it a program is that there's a coaching exercise, sometimes more than one, that goes along with every chapter. And the book is really reflecting on the idea and teaching the idea that we create our own realities. But instead of it being that we're creating our own realities and making that a spiritual or a law of attraction type of definition, it's really about we're creating our own reality, and it uses neuroscience to explain why we are creating our own reality. So it's using the study of neurology, neurobiology, neurochemistry, just, you know, understanding the way that our brain is making connections that is, in a sense, creating the world that we perceive to live in.
Yes, it's such a great leverage point to really shift our money mindset and to really then be able to shift our behaviors, because we've addressed our underlying beliefs. So tell me a little bit more, what are the steps in Conscious Communications?
So the steps are, first, the very first principle to understand is how to focus, and the first part is about focus. And when I'm talking about focusing is, you know, what are you focused on most of the time? And understanding that what you focus on is what you're going to notice in your surroundings. And then we're going to move into changing our belief systems, because what you believe is going to determine what you're going to create in your future. So your belief systems are very important, because whatever you believe to be true, you're going to continue to create circumstances that are going to reinforce these beliefs. And this is all done subconsciously. So one of the things that I find people being resistant to this type of information is because it doesn't feel correct, because it doesn't feel like we're actually doing this. And many times these beliefs are hidden to us. So we don't even understand that our behavior is determined by our beliefs. So if you change your beliefs, you will then change your behavior. And one of the big exercises in the book is called Cleanser Clog. And I just really love this one, because it is taking this idea that I have about cleansing or clogging. So when in 2005, I was at a Tony Robbins event, and on the very last day, he talks about wellness. So it's really largely a talk about diet and exercise. And he says, Well, think of it this way. Everything that you put in your mouth is either going to cleanse you or clog you. And so you look at an apple, and before you put this apple in your mouth, you say, will this cleanse me or clog me? And obviously with an apple, the answer is cleanse. But if it's, say, a chocolate bar, then the answer would be clog. And you just want to make sure that 80% of the time you are choosing cleansing choices. And so then what I've done in the book is I've taken this concept of cleanse or clog, and I've applied it in every area of your life. So what are you doing that is causing cleanses or clogs in your career? What are you doing to cause cleanse or clogs in your finances, in your relationships, in your spiritual growth, you know, in everything in life? In your, you know, it's just because cleanse or clog really means that everything you're doing, everything you communicate, all the actions you're taking, every single thing you do is either creating a connection to your dreams or it's driving a disconnection. And so it's very, very important that you get your actions and your choices in alignment with those things that you want.
That is so brilliant. I really love that inquiry into greater mindfulness, and really it's such a great parallel, because I see wealth as our sense of well-being, and you know that it does include more than just money, that wealth is really just a more holistic picture of our sense of well-being. And so I think it's just brilliant to look at every exchange, interaction, relationship, everything that we focus our attention on, even, and how that affects our system. And what a great frame of reference for people. That's brilliant. What kind of like results and outcomes do you see as people work with this cleanse or clog method?
Well, you're always one choice away from completely changing your life. So, I mean, for some people, it switches them from depression to a more happier, progressive lifestyle, where they're very focused on personal motion forward instead of being focused on being stuck. I think that the first result that you're going to see is awareness. You know, it allows you to reflect, set goals, and take action. And so, you know, it's when you're, I am very much involved in personal development, and personal development is a journey, and everyone is at their own place in that journey. And so, you know, you might have some people take this information and just with one simple concept of cleanse or clog, they can completely change their life. Other people, you know, it might be a more slower progression because of their, you know, their circumstances might be more complicated.
Yes. So let's talk about this in relationship to debt psychology, because as we know, oh my gosh, this is such a huge topic, especially here in America, how much personal debt has grown, how much the younger generations are coming with student loan debt, and how we really need to address this and have the skills to really work with the debt and be able to identify what is positive debt and what is more detrimental. So, tell me a little bit more on your thoughts around this.
So, okay, you mentioned a lot of things there, so I'm going to try to pick a starting point. I think that talking about debt, I'll start with talking about my own mission. So I do own a collection agency, and I think that people find it very intriguing that I own a collection agency, but I'm also a personal development teacher. And part of that reason is because very early on, I had an understanding that debt, that money in general is a man-made-up thing. You know, it's not organic. So, for example, a tree is organic. You know, that is on the earth. It was on the earth way before humans were ever on the earth. But money wasn't. And civilization was around before money was around. So money is a system of exchange. It's a system of keeping track of things. But there's a psychology to it. And I guess from my own personal evolution through this really began with being a debt collector, understanding that I really wanted people to feel good about paying their debt, because paying a debt or having a debt is a psychological burden. And it's a burden that builds a brick wall in between people, the person who owes the money, and their dreams. And it will keep you from chasing your dream. People won't apply for a loan. They won't ask the same person out on a date. They won't apply for a house loan. They won't apply for a business loan. Because the truth is that having a debt will lead to a feeling of unworthiness. And that is because of the punitive nature of the way that we view debt in our country. But I could flip that really easily, because let me ask you a question, Crystal. Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever owed you money?
Has anyone? Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, has anyone ever owed you money and avoided paying you for, say, more than a week or two?
No, I've never had that happen.
Well, you're the first person that ever answered that question that way. Because what my point is that it's actually a psychological burden for the creditor as well. And anyone who's ever been owed money knows this feeling you feel in your stomach when you see that person that owes you money. Mm. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. So my point is that it's just as uncomfortable to be the creditor as it is to be the debtor. And, you know, healing has to come from a place of understanding both sides of it. You know, it's not just about let's have sympathy and empathy for the person who owes the money, but we also need to be thinking about the creditor as well. So when we are talking about our belief systems and the changes that are necessary in perception, there should be as much sympathy given to the creditor as to the person who owes the money, the debtor. But I don't think that there is. And then I think, too, it's the way that we view debt. So I think that the media contributes to so much of what we in our country believe that it is almost unbelievable. So one of the things that you mentioned was student loan debt. When did we start perceiving this as a bad thing? Thank you. So when did we start seeing this as a bad thing? Because I think that in the generation, like my generation, it was not perceived as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was perceived as normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure I'm 43, but there is this younger generation that they're terrified of student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just asking the question, why? Well, I'll mm-hmm. tell you why, because the media has made it out to be a bad thing. Student loan debt is not a bad thing because it's an investment. And I think one of the questions you asked is identifying, say, what's good debt versus bad debt. And I think there's a very simple way to answer this question. Let's look at it as a cleanse or a clog. If you are running up your credit card on things that are not an investment in yourself, that would be a clog. But if you are incurring student loan debt because you are investing in your future, that is very much a cleanse, because that choice connects you to your future. Interest rates on student loan debt are very small, very low. You know, I think that the problem, the real problem that no one is talking about is the spending behavior of students.
Mm.
Because what really is the issue is not the student loan, but it's all the credit cards they're running up. It's the lifestyle they're trying to have while they're in college, because these kids were given a lifestyle that maybe the generation before was not used to. And I noticed that even with my own growing up, it was like I grew up, we'll say, in the 80s. And so I was considered a latchkey kid. And, you know, because I was like the first generation where both parents worked. So I came home after school, but we had a nice home. You know, we belonged to the clubs. I went swimming every day in the summer, and we had a really nice lifestyle. Well, what happened was then my generation graduates, and they didn't want to start at the bottom. They didn't want to buy that starter home like the way that my parents did. They wanted to come right out of the, they wanted to come right out and start their lives in that McMansion.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of buying a home and then, you know, 10 years later buying a nicer home. They didn't want to buy a used car. They wanted to buy a brand new car. And they didn't want to, they had to have all the newest gadgets. So they were the ones out buying the $20,000 plasma TVs.
Mm-hmm.
When, let's face it, you don't need that. And I know that those TVs aren't that much now, but they were when they first came out. Computers are so expensive, you know, so it's wanting these things and having this lifestyle that they were not willing to take a dip in that lifestyle. So the point is, of all of this little rant I just went on, is that they were not taught to live within their means. So one of the things that you mentioned, I believe, was credit education. And I think what we really need to say is, how do you live in your means, and how do you be happy living within your means? One of the reasons that I have been able to be so successful over a 20-year up-and-down career is because I have always lived within my means. So when business was doing well, I didn't go out and buy new cars and swimming pools. You know, I kept my lifestyle just around the same, what it, in a place that I was very happy with. You know, and in talking about credit cards, I also think about this. Like when I was young, so growing up in the 80s, my parents had a credit card. They might have even had a couple of credit cards, but it wasn't their everyday spending habit. So they had the credit card, but the credit card was used for, say, when you got a flat tire. Or if you were out of town traveling and you didn't, you know, there was specific uses for the credit cards. But now, because of convenience, credit cards are used for everything, either a credit card or a debit card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could try this experiment. I did this. My friend said this to me, and I didn't believe it, so I did it myself. But my friend said, okay, the next time you're going to the store to get, like, just one thing, you know how occasionally you run out to the store, and it's really just to get one thing? You just need something, so you're heading out to the store. So I did this, and I remember the thing that I wanted was a coloring book and crayons for my kids, because and I was going to Kmart, so this was when the Kmarts were still all over the place, so probably about 10 years ago, maybe longer. So I'm going to Kmart, and I had on me just enough money to buy the crayons and the coloring book, so maybe I had like $5 to $10 on me. Well, I got to the checkout line, and I had gathered up all of these other things, because what I was doing was I was mindlessly shopping. So when I had my little shopping cart and I started unloading it, I'd forgotten that I had left my credit card at home. So I thought, isn't that interesting? I wonder how many times I go to the store for one thing and then I see something on the end cap and I buy it, those impulse buys. But they add up. And so the problem is not student loan debt. The problem is overspending for things that we don't need. Student loan debt is an investment in yourself, just the way, same way that a mortgage is, just the same way that a business loan is.
Yes. Gosh, you made so many great points there. I can tell just your passion behind this this topic and how it really does affect people. And it's so important to build that intergenerational understanding, right? And how times are changing and opportunities are changing and that we, yeah, I do want to acknowledge the rising cost of college and some of the changing job market opportunities for these millennials. And so I think it's just want to be careful not to make generalizations either way, because I think it's very specific for each person, whether, you know, whether college is a good investment or how much loan of a loan to take on. But I really appreciate your point about that, you know, it, just, it goes back to that education of money management and how that really should be part of early education, high school curriculum, where people are more aware of what compounding interest will do and just have a more informed choice when they are ready to either make a purchase of a brand new car and put that on debt just because they're approved for that loan, or make the decision for college. I really think that it's clear that we need more of that empowerment of the individual.
That's really, really smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's see, I also wanted to really underline that you had said something earlier about connection and disconnection, and I see that, you know, people are just yearning for greater connection, and that it's ultimately, I see that this disconnection is this sense of poverty, that it leads to poverty, whether it's disconnection from ourselves, from relationships with other humans, from, you know, that we're yearning for this connection with our purpose and our soul's calling to how we can contribute to the world. And so just curious if you'd like to say any more about the power of our mind and kind of the significance of this human need for connection.
Well, you've got my mind spinning because you've taken this word of connection and you've actually connected it to so many beautiful things. One of the words I heard you say was purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a, if you're familiar with the Lost Gospel of Thomas, there is a quote from the Lost Gospel of Thomas that I really love. And it goes something like this. I may not get it word for word exactly correct, but it's something along the lines of, when you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. When you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. And I have an entire chapter in my book dedicated to the role of authenticity in our lives. And I tell it through this story of, do you remember the movie Fried Green Tomatoes?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so you know that the Kathy Beatty character in the movie, I can't remember the character's name right off the top of my head, but her character was someone who was my age, and she was a housewife, and she was not feeling very fulfilled in her life, and she was just sort of lost and searching. But then she has this inner awakening, and she creates this alter ego of Tawanda. And when she really puts Tawanda in charge of her life, she makes major drastic changes. And she starts doing things deliberately. And so I really have this experience where I believe that all of us have a Tawanda inside of us. Now, it might not be Tawanda. So if I was on this kick for a while where I was asking people, if you could be any superhero you wanted, who would you be? Or if you could be any, say, archetypal character that we're aware of, who would you be? And I remember that I was choosing Scarlett O'Hara because Scarlett was so business brilliant. And, you know, Scarlett was beautiful and you know, I just thought, she was so glamorous and smart, and I was really identifying with Scarlett. Well, what I realized was, you know, my life was a lot like Scarlett's, because Scarlett had a lot of drama, and Scarlett had a lot of just problems and struggles. And I was paying attention to thinking how much struggles that I have in my own life. And what I realized was that I wanted to be Dorothy. Because Dorothy had the power all along. You know, Dorothy had unconditional love and support. And I thought, I want to be Dorothy. So you know what? I became Dorothy. And then it's just so interesting how when you really let some of these inner superpowers be in charge, you start to change the way that you perceive the world around you. You start to speak differently. You start to make different choices. You start to pursue your ideas and your dreams. And things will change around you very, very fast.
I invite people listening just to let that question inspire you in this time and see, because our storytelling capacity is one of the greatest untapped resources of humans. You know, we are fed the mainstream story of what success is and what, you know, our bank accounts should look like and on and on. And so I find that more and more as leaders and women are able to craft their own stories of success and wealth, that that their entire lives do change, like you were saying, that they stop becoming victims or hiding and playing small and really can tap into their purpose and their unique genius in a whole new way.
And it's so much fun. You know, when you're being, you know, the reason I say to think about this person who you are inside and assign an archetype to it is because when you are bringing forth what is inside you, you really will be saved. It's so amazing. You know, a lot of people ask me about this collection work that I do, and that's one of the things that I say is when I brought my true self to that job, the my world changed. And now, you know, not only am I a leader in the collections industry, but I'm on a mission to change the collections industry as a whole. So we're teaching, you know, we created a special method of collections that is based on making people feel good about paying their debt. And it's a innovative and groundbreaking system. And it's been written about all over the countries in medical journals and in collection journals. And now we're taking this out and we're teaching others how to do it. So we've been teaching it in healthcare for about 10 years, and we're beginning to teach it to other debt collectors because we want to make a dent in the collective consciousness of the world. And I feel like my way of doing that is by getting people to understand if your job is to collect debt, it must be done with dignity. People's feelings must be validated. And the most important way to motivate someone to pay a debt is to make them feel a sense of accomplishment by paying that. You know, I saw a post on LinkedIn the other day, Crystal, and it really just turned my stomach. The post said, it was an article, and the title of the article said, "Shaming Debtors as an Alternate Method of Collections."
Ugh.
And I just thought, this one article was representative of everything that is wrong in the collections industry.
Wow. So what shifts when you take this innovative approach with people? What kind of outcomes do you see?
Well, I mean, people pay their debt. That's what we see.
Awesome. I just love that. The human dignity, you know, I'm an economist, and I like to call it that we're moving into a more intimate economy where people's emotions are considered, where the relationship is at the forefront, and where there is more transparency, authentic communication, and it just feels like a more intimate way of collecting debt, really.
It is. And to be more specific with you, I was kind of joking before, but to be more specific, the outcome we saw was we had a 33% increase in revenue the first year when we started using this system. And the system back then wasn't even fully developed. So we did have a 33% increase in revenue. We get zero complaints. So from our clients' perspective, and we typically do work in the medical debt community, from our clients' perspective, they do not get complaints on us. In fact, our clients will call us from time to time and say, "Well, I just want to make sure you're actually working because we're not getting any complaints on you, and we're not used to that." We have a lower lawsuit. You know, people are not filing lawsuits against us and filing complaints against us the way that they do the other companies. And what I truly believe in my heart is that we are helping change those who have a poverty consciousness to understand that they can choose another method. Because, you know, I'm not somebody that believes that people that their debt should just magically go away, because believe it or not, our economy could not handle that.
Right.
And believe it or not, when people create a debt, karmically, it is something that they should pay.
Mm-hmm.
And by not paying that, you know, if you understand the mind-body connection, our bodies take in and understand everything that is going on in our lives, and it manifests. It's when we have issues, you know, they say that saying, the issues are in the tissues. Well, if you're avoiding paying debt, then it is going to show up. It's going to manifest itself one way or another in the body. Now, another thing I will say is that I'm also not into the concept of chasing down people who are not going to pay. And I'm not into this, if people cannot pay because they do not have the means to pay, then really there's, if they don't have the resources to pay, I can't force them to have those resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also a formula or a criteria that needs to be used, because people that are in a hardship, you know, it's sort of like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So people that are in a hardship, you know, maybe they're having a health crisis, or their child is having a health crisis, or they're living on disability, then really it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to invest in trying to collect from those people. It's
mm-hmm.
working with the people who are wanting to make a change, working with the people who have the money to pay, but maybe they just don't know how, you know? Maybe they don't know how to set up a budget, or, you know, they don't know how to live within their means.
Wow, you have such a fascinating perspective. I just love to see how you're creating transformation in this debt collection industry and really bringing a human face to it, because so often the debt collectors are vilified, and the people who are owing, you know, both sides can be vilified. And I think just bringing the humanity back into it is so crucial. So let's take a quick break here just for a minute, and then when we get back, let's talk some more about, you know, common challenges that you see, you know, maybe specifically around women entrepreneurs dealing with money and just how people can overcome some of those barriers. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Do you get choked up and flush talking about money? Don't let fear and shame stop you from sharing your value. Speak up, sister. Find out how to boost your financial communication skills at www.findyourmoneyvoice.com. Perhaps you're like Gwen, a budding creative entrepreneur who wants to provide for her family, but she has a tough time expressing her needs. She chronically undercharges and lays awake at night with money stress. With Crystal's Find Your Money Voice training, she found renewed confidence speaking her self-worth. Transform beliefs, behaviors, and skills with money. With greater clarity and focus, Gwen more confidently negotiated solid agreements and increased her business earnings with the trainings found at findyourmoneyvoice.com.
Welcome back. We are here with Mary Shores and enjoying such a delightful conversation. And I'd love to, you know, I know many women entrepreneurs in particular struggle with money, with speaking about money, and many of them are so well-intentioned and have big gifts that they want to offer. And so I'm curious if you would like to speak to any common struggles that you see in particular around women with money.
Yes, I had three things immediately come to mind, and I have to tell you that the I don't know what you call it, but the ad that I was listening to during the break
uh-huh.
about your it was so perfectly stated, and it was such a perfect intro about into what I'm about to say. So I'm going to share with you three recent situations that I'm aware of. In an entrepreneur group that I'm in, sometimes they post questions, and then those of us that are more senior will answer the questions. Well, there was a woman in the group, and she's a single mother, and she has started a business. And she posted in the group because she thought she wanted a part-time job. And when we were asking her questions, it came to light that she already works full-time. She has a part-time job. She's running her business, and she's a single mother.
Wow.
And so I said, you know, have you thought about getting a business loan? And she just immediately shut down and said, well, I can't get one because I won't qualify. And I said, well, how do you know that? And she said, well, I don't know that. I just assume that I won't be able to get one. So I said, well, here's the reality of the situation. You getting another part-time job is not a sustainable solution. And, you know, I do think that this is a problem that I see swirling around women more than I see it swirling around men, because the amount of responsibility that we take on is different, and especially if someone is a single mother. So while I can understand why she didn't immediately think of getting a business loan, I thought the best way for me to help her is to see the value of just trying it anyway. Because here, number one, what's the worst that could happen? They tell her no. But what are the great things that could happen? Number one, she gets to review her credit report with a professional. She gets to ask, she gets to have private time with a loan officer that would explain to her that this is what we would be looking for, so that perhaps she can take that application back, and now that she understands those expectations of what it would take to get approved, she would be able to make those adjustments or make those her goals. You know, sometimes I think we make the wrong thing the goal. I could explain that further if you need me to. But sometimes we need these smaller goals. Like if they set out, you need these three milestones met before we could give you a loan, then she could make those milestones her goals. And she would probably get a lot done and be very productive in making those milestones her goals. Another thing is, in applying for something, they might be able to refer her to a local program. So, you know, in the state of Illinois, we have these economic development loans. So they are loans specifically tailored to people who are trying to start a business, and they have a different method of approval than a traditional loan, because their loans are guaranteed by the government. So even though it is the person, they're not getting free money. It's just that the government is backing the loan, so it makes it a little bit easier to get approved. Or maybe the banker knows of some programs that are available that could help this person, because there's all kinds of programs available, and especially for women in business. So I was able to help her see, here we go back to that beliefs and perception. Her perception was that she couldn't get a loan for no reason at all. I mean, she didn't say she had, you know, when I asked her why, she didn't say, well, I have bad credit. She didn't say, you know, I filed bankruptcy last year. She just assumed. And I think that, you know, that again goes to our belief system and all of the media that was surrounding the real estate bubble, you know, because I think that the media really took that story to extremes and stretched that out for years and years and years. The second situation was, and I heard this in your ad, something about asking for the money that you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
The second situation was people posting questions about, They have anxiety about asking for payment for their services that they provide. And I found this really interesting. And I was able to help a woman, and I said, what you need is to be able to develop a script so that when you're talking to people about your services, you can feel confident about how to create that conversation. And I asked her, I said, when do you begin to feel the anxiety? And she said, at the moment when she sees the person as a potential client, she begins to feel like she just wants to give them her card and then leave it upon them to contact her. Like she said, the moment that I can see an opportunity for a sale, she begins to get uncomfortable because she doesn't know how to talk about how she charges for her services. So is that what you were talking about in that ad?
Yeah, totally. And that's a great nuance to the general under-earning that so many women encounter, that it's not just making less than male counterparts at a job, that it's actually also these dynamics of anxiety and fear and doubting self-worth and all these things.
Sure. Well, I was able to, in about a half an hour, I was able to coach her into, instead of talking to people like you're selling them, creating a conversation and understanding how to identify what someone's pain points are, and then be able to translate how your services will solve their pain points. And she happens to be she's a coach for autistic adults. And my son is autistic, so I was really, I was able to, on some level, understand what she's trying to do, because my son has Asperger's. And so, but she was having this uncomfortable moment where she feels awkward charging for her services because she used to work in a nonprofit environment. So I can understand why she would feel that way. But when we know what we're going to say, when we have a plan, then our confidence grows. And so, not in this first book that I wrote, Conscious Communications, but in my book that I'm writing now, Everything Communicates, I go over how to create these conversations and all of the steps it takes to create conversations that lead you to the goal that you're looking for. And so for her, it was really taking this into a step-by-step process of how you would have a conversation with a potential client by asking certain questions, by asking them, well, what are the pain points? And then, they tell you what the pain points are. And then you simply, the first step is always you have to validate. You have to say, Mary, I can understand how difficult it is to have the role of a caregiver. I've been in that role many years myself. And then you have to plant a seed of happiness by saying, the great news is, and then you have to follow up with an action statement. The great news is we will be able to evaluate your son's needs and create a three-step program that will take him from dependence to independence. And that is the way that you build up a conversation, instead of the way she was doing it before, was just saying, well, I'm an executive functioning coach for people with autism, and here's my card if you would like to make an appointment. But you need to make people want to make an appointment with you. You have to create a hook.
Yeah, totally. And it's like this thread of connection again, that we're creating relationships and we're listening deeply and having these skills to be able to understand and empathize with this person and really speak to what they're needing and provide the solutions for them.
Absolutely. You've just built rapport with your client. You've built a rapport that is lasting, and it builds trust and it creates a connection. I believe the way she was doing it before was actually driving disconnection. And then the third situation was a woman that was almost in tears because she was having a difficult time. Same thing. She was having a difficult time asking for payment of her services. But when I was talking to her, her situation was slightly different. So, in fact, it didn't take me very long at all to get her to come to an aha moment, because I was saying, well, what? I asked the same question. What is causing you this anxiety? She's a custom songwriter. And I said, okay, well, and I said, how much does it cost to have a custom song written? And she said something like, a range from $2,000 to $5,000, depending on various things. And I said, okay, so then let's talk about who is your target market. And she said, well, I work a lot with college students.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, well, no wonder you can't ask them for money, because then she immediately started telling me her own problem. She said, well, I remember when I was a college student and I didn't have very much money. And I said, well, I think that what we need to do here is we need to create an opportunity to how you can work with college students, because you're right, your target audience needs to be somewhere else. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I never have this problem when I'm working with executives. So, like, for example, one of her clients might be an executive male who's buying a song, a custom song for his wife, or a custom song for a corporate jingle or something like that. She didn't have any problem getting payment from those people. So we talked about, like, how can you serve the college community at a price they can afford? And we came up with the idea of teaching, like, half-day workshops where she could teach her songwriting skills to the students in a large group of people. So it just took a little bit. She loved it, too. And it just took a little bit of out-of-the-box thinking.
And what I hear you talk about living in alignment a lot, and this sounds like an example of where just getting her in right alignment with her audience and their needs and their abilities to pay really created transformation. So could you explain to listeners a little bit more about this idea of living in alignment and why people should really, want to live more in alignment?
I love that topic, and the reason I love it so much is because it's something that I absolutely struggled with, because I would hear metaphysical teachers say, you need to get in alignment, and I thought, what the heck does that mean? I never understood it, and then I finally understood it when they kept saying, you have to get your thoughts, your words, your actions in alignment with what you want. It goes back to cleanse or clog. You have to make every thought you think, every word you speak, and every action you take be something that is going to connect you to those dreams that you want. And so the simplest example I can tell you is if somebody has a goal that they want to lose 20 pounds, but every day in their afternoon, when your afternoon crash hits, which this happens to me at like 2 or 3 o'clock, they grab a Snickers bar, that is a choice that is not in alignment with their goal of losing 20 pounds. But if every day when they start to feel that energy crash, they would get up and walk around and eat an apple, that is a connecting choice. If they want to be in the relationship that feeds them and supports their emotional growth, but yet they are constantly choosing to date people or be in relationship with people who are very much sucking the life out of them, that is another choice that is not in alignment. If you want to start a business, but you are not, you're only talking about it, you know, we're talking about we should start a business, then it's very important here. A connected choice would be sitting down and writing a one-page action plan that is going to be something that's going to connect you to starting your business. You know, there's that old study about people who write down these things are something like 80% more likely to make it happen. And it's so true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's, just how we pay attention to what's most important and really have, you know, you've talked some about goals, too, and just having the big picture in mind so that we can make the immediate choices in the moment and not get swept away by whatever else is influencing us to impulsively shop or, eat the donut. And so I find that, having that clear sense of purpose and the bigger goal helps us take more aligned actions day to day.
Sure. And if you're into goal setting, I would like to say that in addition to those Power Thought cards that we're offering to your audience, I have two free books available right now. One is called Dream with a Deadline, and the other one is called Ignite Your Dreams. And these are both personal development programs, and on the last day of each of the challenges, you actually do get to write out a customized action plan.
All right.
So people can find those at maryshores.com. And there's a button for Ignite Your Dreams, and there's a button for Dream with a Deadline, and there's a button for the Power Thought Cards.
Excellent. Great. And tell us a little bit more about the Power Thought Cards.
So I just love these cards. One of the reasons that I really got into writing was because of Louise Hay. And she is just one of my idols because she started her own publishing company at 58 years old. And she did it all by herself. And she did it during a time where there weren't women working in publishing because this was in the 80s. And, I mean, she's just an astounding woman. And so to go along with my book, I started writing these sort of affirmation cards and power thought cards. And so my first set, which I'm calling the Power of Personal Creation, it goes like this. The Power of Personal Creation is the power of vision, the power of focus, the power of belief, the power of your body, the power of choice, power of words, the power of authenticity, the power of mindset, the power of action, and the power of mastery. And so for each one of those thoughts, like the power of belief, we have a card that we've created, which is the belief card, or the power of vision, which says, if you're going to succeed at anything in life, you must know your outcome. So these are just great cards. They're beautiful. They all have nature scenery on them, and they're beautiful quote cards that if you sign up for them, you'll get a PDF. You can print them out. What I did was I print mine out, and I cut them up, and I put them – I have these really large mirrors in my house, and I tape them on the mirrors so that I'm always looking at them.
Hmm. Awesome.
Like up in my bathroom mirror.
Oh, yeah. That is so powerful. Love those. So encourage people to download those on your website. And tell us a little bit more about your book and when it's coming out.
So my book is called Conscious Communications, and it is available for pre-sale now. And it's Conscious Communications, your step-by-step guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. It's just $10.99 on Amazon right now. And pre-sales are such an important time period for an author because, as you know, the book business has been changing a lot. So it's really those pre-sales that determine whether or not your book will make it onto bookshelves. So if any of your listeners are interested in what we're talking about today, I highly recommend that they jump onto Amazon and look for the book Conscious Communications. There's also a link to it, of course, right from my website, maryshores.com.
Excellent. And what else would you like to share in the closing few minutes here?
I just want to say thank you so much for letting me be on your show. I think it's wonderful what you are doing, and I would love to connect with you more at a future time.
Yes, and I am so grateful for you bringing in such a feminine voice and feminine leadership into not only the collections field, but also just into personal empowerment and the way that you are affecting change in so many people's lives, and just really have appreciated in our conversation your insights into human behavior and how our mindset really does impact our ability to not only create financial prosperity in our life, but also, you know, really create a satisfying, enjoyable, healthy lifestyle. And so happy to connect with you as a leader in this. So I invite listeners just to come back to, you know, some money conversations that may be on the horizon for you, and really to reflect on what your goals and outcomes that you would like to see with these conversations. You know, maybe something sparked your interest in either paying off debt or contacting someone who owes you money. And encourage people just to put the human connection at the forefront and really the relationship and honoring the emotions and being able to connect with people in this human level, even when we're talking about money. And so as Mary encouraged, doing some kind of preparation before you have any kind of conversation, maybe even a script to follow before you're making, a suggestion, having a conversation with a potential client or something like that can be incredibly powerful, so you can be more relaxed and confident and at ease when you have these very important money conversations. Most of all, be curious and really connect and trust that you can move through any fear or guilt or shame that comes up, and the relief that you will feel when you connect and have these money conversations is so immense, and it's truly empowering. So I encourage you to check out maryshores.com and all of those gifts she has for you, and go ahead and check out on Amazon and go ahead and buy the Conscious Communications book. And that's all for today. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to subscribe to the show and rate and review our podcast at iTunes. Be sure to visit www.moneymorphosis.com. That's money-morphosis.com to join the growing community of empowered women who are dedicated to creating the true wealth they deserve.